Well, today is a great day. Woo! Where are my glasses? What pocket? Well, we started this last week. I think I just do this, right? No. Oh, another break. We have to wait till this gets loaded. But last week we talked about, I showed this first slide. Just tell me when you got it up and I'll... we talked about the parallel between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We talked about God gives us leadership so that we can be trained and built up to be all we can be. Sounds like a slogan somewhere, but in the Old Testament, it was prophets, priests, and kings that God gave his leaders to give direction, to give insight, to keep us on track, right, or keep them on track. And they went throughout the tribes. And the tribe was a family of families, just like in the New Testament. The church is a family of families. And, great, now we got it going on. Okay. Okay. All right, so anyway. In the New Testament, it's not any longer prophets, priests, and kings. It's Ephesians 4 ministers. It's the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. Fivefold ministry that's given to the body as gifts to men for the training and the building up of the body of Christ. Okay? And they go through. Yes. Praise him. Dun-dun. Okay. So anyway. You see this, that in the same way there were the tribes of Israel, we now have churches that are families of families, collections, and those churches are networks of churches, apostolic networks of churches. So this is kind of what we talked about last week, and we talked about God's heart for leadership, and that God never intends man to take his place, but he gives men his gifts to be a bridge for direction, training, because he chose it that way. So we would be interdependent, and we couldn't do it on our own. You know, so people who say, like, oh, I don't need anyone else. It's me and God. You know right away, whoa, they're missing the majority of Scripture. They're missing the heart of God. We need one another, every single one of us. We are a wall of living stones, not a pile of stones, just stacked. That would even be, maybe we just like need to scatter them all out so nothing touches one another. That would be a mess. Everything, even cobblestone roads are mortared together, right? So, oh, I got it. Okay, so now we're going to start getting into this and understanding from the start, when we talk about this, the biblical model of the church as family is essential. It resolves all kinds of conflicts that arise in more corporate business models that are built on hierarchy, fear, and control. Now, there's other enemies in this model of a family, and I'm sure you could guess if you're a parent, just think of the different kind of hostile agents that have come into your family. How about familiarity? People not respecting, not honoring because they're too close and chummy and what are you talking about? You know, those kinds of statements come from someone who lacks reverence and fear for parents, right? That same thing. Husbands and wives not learning to respect and to love. And so there's conflict there. It's the same thing in the family of God. And one of the greatest enemies is familiarity. So that's just because we're family doesn't mean there's not structure and honor and respect and love. All those things are essential parts of a family model. Now, this is a great example of what we call sodal and modal. Now, we use those two words. They're not biblical words. But there's so much baggage that comes with pastor, elder, teacher, missionary. You get all kinds of concepts. You say missionary in here, and I bet you I go around with the mic, and there's 10 different definitions of what that is. Well, this sodal modal makes it really easy to understand. In Ephesians 4, when it says God gave gifts to men, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, some people call this fivefold ministry. These are offices of calling. These are callings. No one appoints anyone to these positions. They affirm God's hand on their life that's evident through a supernatural gifting. And so these folks here are your sodal folks. They're people who the way I define this is, and you're either sodal or modal. You're not a combination. Because what determines it is if you're over 50%, whatever part you are, that's what you are. So you can't be like 50-50. Okay? Okay, and here's the definition. Okay? The distinction is more than 50% of your passion, energy, gifts, aspirations to one local church family or to many. Now, you can be modal and still go and visit other churches and encourage other churches, but there's a majority of your heart, affection, drive for one or the other. Is it many churches or is it that one family church that you just love to pour into, you love to think about, strategize about? Just now, the sodal or the apostolic team is involved in all different kinds of local churches. Their heart is spread over the big C. We want health, and they're planted in one local church. They're based there. The differentiating factor is where is your passion, your gift sets, all the things that drive you. That determines whether you're modal or sodal. Now, this is important because if you're sodal, one of these fivefold ministries, or if you're a benefactor who's been given a gift of giving, who loves to fund the expansion of the gospel, I mean, that's like what you say, that's my call. I'm going to be a very wealthy individual who is going to fund the expansion of the gospel all over the world. It's going to be amazing, right? That kind of mentality, you're a sodal person. Or maybe it's someone who's just an incredible influencer and you like to go places and you drum up support and you drum up momentum to see the big C church prosper. If you're that kind of person, you are not a candidate for elder or deacon. Elders and deacons are appointed, not called. I mean, you have to kind of feel like a confirmation in your heart from God, but I'm talking calling versus appointment. You are chosen. You are chosen within the body as someone who has demonstrated character, good parenting skills, discipleship skills, and it's been visibly recognized, and there's agreement that let's appoint these people. Okay? And by the way, we, the senior leadership, are not going anywhere, at least for good. We'll maybe little trips all over from this airport here, but we're back, we're here, our hearts are here, we're leading. So this isn't a passing of the torch to say to these new elders and deacons, there you go, have fun. You know? So we're here. This, you know, if you want to give the Ephesians 4 ministers, right, or what we've called our apostolic team or our Ephesians 4 team, a title in this local church right now, we would be serving as senior elders, senior leaders. So we would be the ones still who are an ultimate responsibility, who carry it, where, you know, if it stops anywhere before God, it's us. And we're going to be the ones who stand before the Lord and say, yes, sir, we take full responsibility. We're still providing a very substantial covering for these elders and deacons. This is the beginning of us expanding our leadership to say, okay, we're going to start appointing elders and deacons in this place, and we're going to spend a lot of energy and time developing them, walking with them hand in hand, and helping them be trained and built up for the work before them to steward this incredible family. So we're progressing in this mandate to train saints and build up the body. One day we will serve here solely as Ephesians 4 ministers, and we'll raise up other senior elders out of the eldership to really walk in our responsibility locally. And then you'll see us here enjoying, just speaking into some things here and there, and leading this charge throughout the nations to spread the gospel, the good news to all the world. So, Every bit of leadership is delegated authority. Okay, if you're called as one of these SOTL folks, then you're delegated leadership by God. If you're appointed as an elder or deacon, you're delegated leadership, you know, for elders by the apostle or the apostolic team, and by for the deacons by the leadership of the church, selecting among themselves. Now, this principle comes right out of Exodus 18. New Testament, Old Testament, same thing, same principles. So we have Exodus 18, 19. Jethro advises Moses. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel and be with you. You will be the people's representative before God, and you bring disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they're to do. Verse 21, furthermore, you shall select out of the people capable men, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain. They don't take bribes. They're not influenced by someone's wealth. They make decisions based on principle. And you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Now, in Acts 6:3, we see this same principle for deacons. Therefore, brothers, select from among you. There's that same phrase even right out of Exodus 18. Seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. Okay, and they were referring to caring for widows, waiting on tables, taking care of financial matters. Now, the reason there's a lot of you have maybe heard waiting on tables, it comes from this word diakono, and it's to be an attendant or wait upon, or as either meanly, like cleaning the table, or as a host or a friend, or figuratively, a teacher. So this is what the word deacon comes from, to minister, to serve. And then there's another word that's trapeza, which is a table or a stool is being four-legged, usually for food, or a counter for money as a banker. So you have this visual image here of this word deacon comes from this idea of either waiting on tables menially or sitting down with them for a cup of coffee and talking and encouraging and discipling people, or sitting at a table, a food bank, or something, and distributing food, distributing finances, almost like a welfare office, a church welfare office. So this is what deacon comes out. So many of us have been raised thinking, well, we need deacons. Someone's going to get a flat tire. Forget AAA, we're the church, so send a deacon, right? That's not what deacons are. Biblically, deacons have to have a lot of goods under the hood. They need to be full of wisdom, full of the Spirit. Same character attributes that you see for elders. Demonstrate ability to rule the family, their own family, with love, in expectation that they'll do the same for the church. Resolve conflicts. We'll get into some of that. Then we have elders, 1 Titus 1. Titus, my true child in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you would set in order what is unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So here we have Apostle Timothy appointing the elders. That is the apostle's role. One of his job descriptions is appoint the elders and in a sense establish the church with local leadership. Acts 14:23, we also see Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in every church, praying and fasting as they entrusted them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So we see deacons are selected from the folks in the body for those who demonstrate a servant's heart. They're raised up to encourage and meet the needs and help people in the family of God. Elders are appointed by the apostle, okay? Or these aren't the same like 12 apostles. There's different ones today. They're builders. They're ones that plant churches, one that establish churches, much like our apostolic team. They're there to plant and establish churches, in turn, evangelize cities. Okay. So let's just quickly go through. This will take just 5 minutes. A brief job description of the three tiers of leadership I'm talking about. One is the Ephesians 4 ministers. Evangelize strategic cities, like I just shared. Establish churches, train leaders. The second role, equip saints for the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4. Fully establish churches, 1 Timothy 3:14. Now you get the picture here, right? They are gifts to strengthen and build up churches. Now we are going to look at other leaders, deacons, and elders, kind of going from the bottom up, not in hierarchy, but in degree of commitment and responsibility. And we don't have time to get into what changes as you move up that ladder of sacrifice and commitment. But other leaders don't have the same demand on them as elders do. There's an increase of things. There's an increase of having to let your life go. If you're another leader, you might be able to have like more of a private family life and everything. As an elder, you are in a glass house. And you're meant to demonstrate to all how you live. People need to see transparently, this is how I live. You can look at my life, use it as a model. I was reading through some interesting statements, and there was a guy that was in Dwight Moody's town, and he was agnostic. And he literally said, I don't trust any Christian. So he said, but if I find one I could trust, I will believe in God and I will serve with that man in his church forever till I die. So he hired a private investigator to follow Dwight Moody everywhere. And at the end of several months, the investigator came back and said, I cannot find one inappropriate thing in this person's life. The guy gave his heart to the Lord, determined to follow him and live till his death in his church. That is what an elder's about. Open transparency. I mean, my opinion is all leadership should be this. But there's an expectation. You know, maybe other leaders can get away with it. Not an elder. Not an elder. It's like the father of a family that's there saying, here I am, take it, good or bad, this is who I am. So these other leaders, they might oversee ministry programs such as men, women, youth, children. They might oversee particular areas of ministry such as maintenance, finances, administration, special ministry. Key leaders with oversight that don't necessarily fit under roles of Ephesians 4 ministers, elders, or deacons. Now, this could include all kinds of people. People who just like maybe, you know, like ushers. They're doing something, they're having some tasks and oversight. But as you see, when we move to deacons and elders, it's not quite the same gravity, okay? Same importance, but not the same load of responsibility, okay? When we look at deacons, we can look at 1 Timothy 3:8, but they serve as needed in designated responsibilities or projects. Right there, you see right now the game's changing. You don't feel led. You're expected. If there is a need, meet it. Okay? You'll kind of lose some of your, we could even say super spirituality of saying like, well, God's not leading me to do that. Do you know that's an immature attitude, really? That's immaturity and it's a mask for laziness or whatever. Now, I'm not talking, that's a generalization. You might have some serious crisis in your life and it precludes you from being able to do something right now. But as the norm, if someone's not involved at all and they're saying, well, I'm just not feeling led on where to connect, just join a team. Just help. And you know what? You'll find relationships. You'll find joy and fulfillment in actually being able to do something more than just take. So free up elders to teach and shepherd. That is one of the roles of a deacon. Right? Deal with or resolve problems in the local church. This could be relational aspects. This could be, you know, just needs that come up where people have need and we identify it and meet it as a church body. Okay, now we get into some serious heavy duty here. Elders. Oversight and management of the entire church community. We're not talking about a department. We're talking about the whole deal. To give you an idea, eldership, when fully developed, should not require any of the apostolic team or the ministers to be present all the time to be able to have a healthy, functional, fully operational, and growing church body. That gives you an idea. Take Dave out of the mix, Josiah out of the mix, me out of the mix, Stephanie out of the mix, Wesley and Wesley out of the mix, and say, how would it go? You know, in time, it should go splendid. So, shepherding the lives of people, Acts 20, speaking, exhorting, teaching, refuting in sound doctrine, including counseling. So it's not just, an elder isn't just a listener. Like, I mean, think about it. Is any effective father just sit there and go, okay, all right. Oh, so I hear you saying this. Okay. No, a father listens and then gets in your face and says, listen, I don't agree with you. And you know what? If you continue this course, it is not going to go well for you. Now, if you insist, I will be here when you crash and burn. Just call me and I'll be an ambulance and I'll pick you up. Maybe this next time, the next one, lose my number. You know, I'm not going to just empower your stupidity. Okay. Anyway, you get an idea what kind of father I am. Okay. I really am much more gracious than that. I mean, I am actually persecuted for that because I have a short memory. So I forget offenses. I don't even remember. I don't keep a list. Even if someone slapped me a million times, like, oh, so honey, so-and-so's coming out for dinner. What? He slapped you a million times. What's your problem? I mean, like, forgive, but like, you're going to have him over dinner? So she's a great balance. It's awesome. Hallelujah. Okay. It's good for me. It keeps me safe, you know. Okay. So sound doctrine. Okay. This is didicate, Jesus' way of living, skillful living. When an elder is to develop this Jesus' way of living in others. Community oversight in matters of discipline. You know, there's been occasions where we've kicked people out of church. What? Yeah, you don't know about them because we deal with it, and it's only happened, I think, twice. But they were very divisive situations. They needed strong leadership to say, and several times we were like, hey, listen, you know, you got to stop this, you know? And then when the reports and the dreams and the intel keep coming in, it came to the point I had to say, listen, I want you to leave. And they said, what? What are you talking about? Well, can I still visit? No, we don't want to see you again. Go. Go. Don't call. Don't contact people. Go. Leave. And they've never been back. But that was a rare exception out of like, what, 20 years of ministry or something? But it was division that needed to protect the flock because there was a lot of terrible caustic stuff. But on the other hand, anyone who's been around for any long time knows, whoa, my mentor, who's now dead but passed on, is with the Lord, but he would always say, well, you know, Sean, I'd give you counsel, but I know that you have a gift of grace and patience. And so typically, knowing that, I wouldn't give you the counsel that I'd typically give, but you're full of grace. Full of mercy, constantly giving a 100th chance. This is our heart here. It's a true family. Like, what are you going to do to your son? It would be a grave exception, like addiction or safety issue. If you'd ever take a son and say, go away, I don't want to see you for the rest of your life. Okay? But there's hard lines. Some of you with parents in difficult situations know you had to draw the line because it was the right thing to do. And it wasn't just empowering, just dysfunction. Okay. So confirming and commending trained ministers of the gospels. Elders are, even though they're not appointed, elders are supposed to recognize within the body people who are called to fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. They're supposed to say, hey, listen, guys. We recognize hand of God, the call of God on this individual. And they bring them to the Ephesians 4 team and say, let's commend them. Let's recognize that publicly. So those of you who want to be part of the SOTL team in particular, you feel like you're called to the fivefold ministry as an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. My suggestion to you is you work on your character. You serve in the church and express yourself and let people, let your gift be known, because the Bible says your gift will make a way. And people will not be able, if no one sees your gift, chances are it's not time. Because when it's time and people see the gift, then they start to respond. And if they don't see it, it's, chances are God's just kind of dropping a curtain over their eyes to say, I'm not ready for this one to be manifest yet. And then all of a sudden, one day, everyone starts acknowledging, wow, the amazing gift in your life. And then the leadership comes to you and says, listen, we want to talk to you. We want to kind of invite you on this team. There's like God's hands on you. That is the right time. And believe me, we are so hungry to find more leaders to appoint. So hungry. So, oversight of finances of the whole church community, decisions on corporate property matters, these are all job descriptions of the elder. Okay, so let's look at our Crossing Life Church government. This is what ours looks like. Okay, we have a board of directors, board of trustees, technically. And it serves as our council. If you want to think of it like the Jerusalem Council or something like that, it's comprised of people of different gift sets, mostly people who are regional or national leaders. And they're there to govern us, the Ephesians 4 ministers, me. They're there to hold me accountable to certain things. One, do I demonstrate integrity, moral integrity, spiritual integrity, legal integrity, and financial integrity? They're the ones combing through all the books, the finances, saying, this is what we recommend. Or, hey, we're kind of, there's a lot of money here. Is this really a priority? Is this expressing what the vision of this church is, of what the scripture speaks of? There's accountability there. They'd be the ones that if they started seeing something off, like talking to Steph, and Steph's like, oh, I can't stand Sean. He's become a monster. Then they would call me and they'd say, hey, we want to get together here. We want to talk to you. First, it would start one-on-one. The person who heard it would come and say, Sean, what's the deal? What's going on at home? I don't like what I'm hearing. I don't like, someone called me. I don't like that. What's going on? Tell me about it. And they'd confront me, and they have no problem confronting. So Ephesians 4 ministers, okay, these are the people, right? We have Stephanie, me, Dave, Josiah, and then Wes and Wes are in training. Tremendous folks. These people are more than 50% just infused with a heart for the kingdom of God, wanting to see the gospel expand till every single person on planet Earth knows Jesus and knows his love. Okay? So, then we have elders, deacons, and other leaders. These are people who are appointed by the team. Now, in the future, we're going to get your advice on deacons. We're going to have the next wave, which I hope within the year, we have a whole nother wave of appointment of deacons. And what we'll do is we're going to pass out sheets of paper and everyone's going to write down nominations of people who have touched their lives in some way and served them. And then we're going to be watching. We already have, there's probably a dozen other couples that we have our eye on watching. And then we're open to new ones. You know, I think you're going to notice Langlois haven't been here forever. Langlois, whatever. To be en français. So, you know, they've been here shorter term than some of the people who have been here almost 20 years. But we acknowledge something on it. These people that we're bringing forward today are doing it now. It's not like they have to, we're like, hey guys, we see potential, let's work with you. They are demonstrating now. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for people to demonstrate now and then get the title, right? That's what we're looking for. Listen to what Scripture says here. This is right out of Hebrews. Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you as you carefully observe the outcome of their lives. Imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be led astray by various kinds of strange teaching, for it is good for the heart to be established by grace and not by foods. Where it's talking about this legalistic approach to life. I'm going to go down to verse 15. Therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips that confess his name, Lord Jesus. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. Obey your leaders or rulers and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Right now, the Ephesians 4 team, the apostolic team, we are carrying this responsibility fully. No one else in the body. We are. Now, we're training and building up others, including the elders today, to join us in carrying this burden, this privilege. But it is a burden. It's heavy, you know. And those of you who are parents know the burden and that incredible stewardship you carry for your kids. That same feeling you have as a mother and father is what the feeling we as senior leadership have for this body. We brood over it. We love you. We look and we say, oh, I wonder when so-and-so is going to choose to get off the bench. They are loaded with seasoning and gifting. Let's just keep it praying that God would just stir their hearts and move them, because our body is at stake. We need those people to begin to open their hearts. But maybe they're afraid. Maybe they're hurt. Maybe they're overcoming things of the past. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for the balm of Gilead to come and just wash over them. The Holy Spirit to give them courage to trust us when we say, you have a destiny. That kind of thing. Okay, so that's our senior leadership right now. Like I said, one day we'll be in a different place and we'll appoint senior leadership. Then we have elders, deacons, other leaders. We just went over that are very much leaders. Our team leaders that meet on Thursdays, that would be an example of other leaders, not necessarily appointed yet as deacons or elders. Okay, now just some practicalities. These are practicalities that, you know, everyone asks these kinds of questions. Number one, it's a journey. So we are all postured on this journey to grow, to learn in the fear of God, teachability, and humility. None of us have arrived. We're just all children of God in one sense, seeking the Lord out of great fear and reverence for him, a desire to please him, and we're all on this journey. Me, you, the deacons, the elders. So you got to cut some slack here. I mean, come on, open your own eyes about your own life. And extend, well, some of you have a problem. You don't extend grace to yourselves, so let alone others. But we have to. We have to come to a place where we are walk in patience and forgiveness and let people make mistakes and fail forward, right? Two, it's the beginning. We hope that as others desire the work of an overseer, like Scripture says, this group will increase and multiply. This is not a closed group for the elite. Remember fat, faithful, available, teachable? That's what we're looking for someone to demonstrate, to pull them in to greater leadership. Faithfulness, which means you do what you say you're going to do. You're committed, you're there, you're present, available. This is one a lot of people struggle with, and some of it is things that need to work out in their schedules. It takes time. It takes time to make room for God, right? So it takes time. Some people are in a different stage of life. So, you know, they have to believe God and pray that things would be opened up so that they can give more of themselves. But there's some wonderful, faithful, and teachable people that aren't available, and so they're just not candidates right now. And if you're in this place and that's you, Pray. Pray God. God's a big God. He'll open up your schedule. He'll make opportunities for you to be able to give more of yourself and to experience the fulfillment of being obedient and giving to God in his great work, the greatest work in heaven and on earth. So, teachable. Teachable is that you've been able to receive from God, from leadership, from Scripture, admonition to change in your life, your character, your fears, your priorities, your goals. You take the Scripture, like much like we do in First Principles, and we apply it to our hearts. That teachability is your life is reflecting transformation. It doesn't matter if you're 60. Is your life still being transformed because God is speaking to you and you actually receive it? You're teachable. You're not holding on to sacred things and say, oh, I can't let go of this. I don't care what God says. That's not teachable. We open our hearts, lay on the table for surgery and say, Jesus, do your will because I trust that you love me and you're not out to steal or get me because everything you gave me is yours anyway. That's kind of that heart. Okay? Elders and deacons are commissioned. I talked about this. They're appointed and commissioned, not called, is the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4. Okay? We are family. And part of that is we're one team. You know, an example is, you know, as with parents in any family context, did you ever get the kids going to the spouse because you said no? Yeah, it's classic, right? All of us know this. Well, the number one lesson for parents is to walk in unity. You realize that even if you don't disagree, even if you don't agree with your spouse, you stick with what your spouse said and you say no. And then you go later and you talk to your spouse and say, like, I don't agree with your decision. Why did you say that? Well, what you don't know is, and you're like, oh, okay. Or you disagree and then you have to work that out and come to a place of agreement with all facts considered that, oh, okay, maybe we should change that. But when we change it, the decision, we're going to go together and show our unity. This is the key. Same thing in the family of God. Okay, collectively, the elders are fathers, and their wives are mothers of the local church. As such, with the ministers, there is unity in the leadership by the Holy Spirit through faith, relationship, and communication. There's no leadership outside of delegated and appointed authority. If it's not delegated authority, the person has no authority. They might claim they do, but there's no authority out of delegated authority. It's either coming from God or it's being appointed and conferred by men. Much of what's happening here today with elders and deacons, we're conferring authority because we've seen and believe that these people are ready to carry the title because they've demonstrated, they've walked that out. Okay, then we are human. These are all very important practicalities. Ministers, elders, and deacons are not an unlimited resource. They have jobs in most cases, families, responsibilities of like all of us. The difference is they chose that in addition to all that we all normally carry, they're going to give themselves as a sacrifice to the Lord. So you got to cut some slack. I can't believe this. This is outrageous. I'm leaving this church. I left a message with the elder a day ago and he hasn't called me back. Well, then call him again. Maybe he missed it. You try doubling up your hours of responsibility a week and see where it gets you. You know, we gotta use our common sense here. Now, there is a grace given by God, but it's a grace to be able to survive with double the load. So come on, guys, right? They are passionate and committed still to serve and care for the church. The final part is you have a responsibility. Okay, so I know we're all spirit-filled and prophetic, but we're all working that out still, but we can't read your mind. So your role as a member of this family is to recognize, respect, and submit to the appointed church leadership. For example, part of this respect is if you're sick, call, an active word there, that's not like in your dream. Call on the elders of the church to anoint you and you will be healed. Oh, that sounds like a scripture. Oh, it is. Did you ever know that scripture? You know, anyone who has said in the past, or you've heard it, everyone's heard it, I haven't been there for 3 weeks. I went to the hospital. No one visited me or called me. Well, did you let us know? Like, I'm really not a Facebook stalker. Steve is. And most of the time when I find out about a need in the church, I typically am always finding out secondhand of people who go to the hospital or have a health issue or, you know, whatever. It's terrible. Steve tells me a lot. He's like, hey, have you seen the Facebook post? And I'm like, no. And he's like, this is what happened. I said, oh, thank you so much. He's my translator. Knowing all the pastoral care needs of the church through Facebook. And I'm just making a joke of that. It's a blessing. But, you know, when I'm sick, I let people know. I just told you this morning. I'm like, pray for me, would you? And if I was in the hospital, or like when I went for my gallbladder, the first thing I did was text, I think it was Josiah and some of the other team. I mean, obviously my wife. But I texted him and I said, hey, buddy, can you get prayer going for me in the church? Because I'm in the hospital. Immediately, it went out on Facebook. It was blanketed. And I felt the prayer. But it's your responsibility. You can't wait and just expect everyone to know everything you're going through. Pick up the phone and call the church office. That's why we put the number in the bulletin. It's your responsibility. If you're struggling financially, you know, and the only thing, folks, that keeps us from being honest is our pride, which we know makes us stink. We smell. God can't stand pride. He wants interdependence, trust in a family to say, hey, I'm sick. Lift me up in prayer. That's your responsibility. Listen to this. If you're sick, call on the elders of the church to anoint you and you'll be healed. Any of you suffering, James 5:13, he should pray. If you're suffering, pray. Is anyone cheerful? Your diagnosis is you should sing praises. Is any of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to pray over you and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now listen, I know this seems dogmatic, but you're not just supposed to call your friends. If you're part of a church family, you're supposed to call the elders, the ones appointed, which before this point, it's been the apostolic team, the Ephesians 4 team, like I've told you. These aren't like newly filled positions. They're newly filled by an expanded leadership. But we have filled this position. We're responsible leadership. Okay. 15, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Wow. Okay, so here we are. We're commissioning today. Elders, collectively as fathers. So, like, everyone gets this right. You can't, like, if you lacked a father, you shouldn't have the expectations that you can call an elder to have, you know, and you'll be able to sit on their lap and say, Daddy, would you love me? I miss this as a child. Okay? That's unrealistic expectation. And they're not going to sit there and go, oh, it's okay, honey. Think back. I'm your dad now, and you're going to just experience this. No, collectively, they are fathers of a very big family. collectively, in unity, they're going to bring salvation to us, administer it. Christ gives it. Men administer and strengthen and speak into it. Those places that you need healing, they will be a vessel for healing from the living God. You know, why? Well, oh, that's not accurate, Sean. Well, why did it say if you need healing, call the elders? See, it's God's plan to institute interdependency. We need one another. How many people have you heard? Well, I'm sick. Well, the Lord will heal me. Hallelujah. Well, I agree with you. Have you called the elders? I mean, it's scripture. It's commandments before the Lord. And if we want to have the full inheritance, then we need to obey and be teachable and apply scripture to our hearts. Okay, so wives are going to come forward as well. Now, we're not going to point them because how can a wife be a husband or a father? But we're going to call them forward because they are one. And you know, I could go on a whole message about the incredible influence and power of a woman. I believe personally they're the greatest catalytic force in the kingdom to spread the gospel. Amazing. And they're an incredible component in a marriage of discernment, insight, sensitivity. It's all of the attributes of hospitality that we're called to be. The woman is incredible leader. And that's why we have them come up as one. They're integrally involved in the process. I don't want to meet with just a bunch of men. I want their wives there. I want there to be collaboration so the full expression of a couple is met. Okay? Deacons, we're appointing them this morning as servant leaders, allowing ministers and elders to give themselves more effectively to prayer and teaching the word. So, why don't we call them up now? Oh, you know what, though? We got to wait till 11. See, I didn't time this. I could have preached longer, and I was really hustling. I know I could share more. No, listen, I'm going to go to another slide that I left out because I didn't think I had time. This is what I was talking about, the difference between as you walk from other leaders to deacons to elders. Check this out. Okay, there's increases as you move up, and there's decreases as you move up. As you move up from other leaders to elders, your commitment to church increases. Your own ministry decreases till the death. Okay? Church as a priority increases. Other good priorities decrease because you can't do it all, so you have to start choosing church as a priority. Because it's your family. A father's priority is their family, okay? Broader oversight increases. You're not called to just minister to a handful of people anymore. It's everybody, every living, breathing soul in the church family. Specialized tasks and ministries decrease. You're a leader now. So your specialized gifting needs to operate all across the board and just hone in like special artillery. Serving as needed increases when you go from other leaders all the way up to elders. Serving as felt decreases. You lose your right to say, oh, I don't feel led. If there's a problem, a dirty diaper, you don't have a choice. Taking out the garbage? Because none of the other church did it. None of the kids did their chores. And they all scattered and left and hid, ran to the hills. Oh, I don't feel led. That's not my job. It is? It's your job, unless you want to live with stench. Shared ownership increases. Passive recipient role decreases. Nil. Forget it. It never will exist again. Interdependence increases. Independence decreases. See, like, now you cannot afford not to communicate everything that you're doing in your life. Church responsibilities. You know, there's a lot of well-meaning people even that, like, do side counseling, and they'll get together and they'll meet with someone. It's like that. It's the one another thing, you know. You're meeting with someone. As an elder or a deacon, you don't just do that anymore, because you're collectively part of a parental group. So that would be like not right, because then half of the leadership team, and most likely the ones who are ultimately accountable for souls, they end up being left in the dark. And it's not fair. You got to communicate, because now you're part of one team that shares one responsibility. And that's out of great fear and reverence. Because, you know, you're afraid, well, if they tell the rest of the leaders, then everyone in the church will know. No, the thing that you're underestimating is we have to stand before the living God for idle words and gossip. But, like, you don't worry about that when you go to a hospital, right? When there's three other doctors that come together and confer, you're not like, oh, my God, they shared it. The whole hospital will know now. No, you're like, hey, counsel and talk as much as you want. This is my body. Right? Same thing in the church. There's wisdom in the multitude of counsel. And leadership need to confer. If you're trusting in one man's ability and gift sets, you should rethink that. Public exposure increases, private lifestyle decreases. So now we're going to do this in a few minutes here.